Kai's music is a slice of heaven. That's a little taste for you, and look for an upcoming podcast with him.
I make mistakes, so do you.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I am sitting across from Misty Tompoles, who is the publisher and founder of Artslandia. And it's about time we talk to you a little bit, because
hi, Susanna.
It's just the reason I'm here doing this is you.
Oh, you're amazing.
Well, I'm grateful to you. Okay, first things first, Artslandia Magazine. What the heck is it?
What is Artslandia Magazine? It is an annual magazine that aggregates performing arts schedules for the arts groups in music, dance, and theater around the city of Portland, actually in Hillsboro, and then we also include Oregon Shakespeare Festival. But it's much more than an aggregated schedule, right? It has profiles on every single arts organization. It also has little inside tips, Artslandia tips, things that will make your performing arts adventures more appealing and easier.
And beautiful, incredible artwork.
Oh yeah, we have feature articles. So this year our feature articles on change artists, on people that are doing amazing things in the city. We also have a super fun article on, it's called Heated Relationships, and it's about couples in performing arts, couples that have been able to weather the storm of being professional and personal companions. So it's really interesting.
Sounds incredible. Yeah. So how can people get Artslandia Magazine? I was at IKEA the other day, and there it was next to a bed.
You know what I love about IKEA? They use Artslandia to stage their little showrooms. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a kind of, they look really good.
It's so funny, I'll see it in different places because someone's picked it up and then they use it that way. But
We have lots of them here at the office.
Oh yeah, no, we have them at Artslandia HQ, but we also have them at Powell's. Powell's is one of the biggest distributors of Artslandia magazine, so you can go in any time of the year and they'll have it up front. Mm-hmm. It's got a great place.
And it's free.
It's free, it's totally free, because we want people to have access to this information. We don't want to charge for that. It's also mailed to 35,000 subscribers, so it's one of the largest mailings of a magazine in the state. So it mails out to all of the patrons for the performing arts groups that are actually in the magazine.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it mails, and then we distribute at the airport, so visitors, they'll grab it right when they come in. It's also at the convention center. We mail to doctor's offices, salons, you name it. Anywhere someone's going to be sitting, we mail it there so that they can have access to the arts.
So if you want one, you can get online and maybe drop a line to Artslandia and get one
absolutely
in your office.
Yeah.
Or at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, we love it.
So you have a new thing that you're creating, the Artslandia box.
That's right.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't even tell you how excited I am about this product. Artslandia box is a curated culture box. It's a subscription box. You know, subscription boxes are all the rage. And honestly, it's the way everybody gets just about everything now. You know, I get my dinner every Monday. My dinner's for the week through a subscription box. So we were sitting around brainstorming on all that is Artslandia, and Bella Showerman, who is the publishing coordinator here, said, why don't we do a subscription box? No one is doing that. And it just was like ding, 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 light bulb. Absolutely. Like, why wouldn't we do that?
Right.
I mean, we have access to all of this great culture in the city, and we have access to all of these performing artists. So let's marry this in the super cool, high-end, elegant, beautiful box that arrives at your home once a month.
Incredible.
Yeah, no, you get tickets to a performing arts event, you get tickets to a museum, you get dining out vouchers to some of the coolest restaurants in the city, you get classes, you get wine tasting, you get some kind of delectable from a heritage brand in the city.
And even a work of art.
Oh, you do. Yes, you do. You get a little mini gallery piece every month that has a fun calendar on the back. No, it's just the coolest box ever.
And it's like having that really hip best friend.
It is. You know, it is. And it's amazing that the idea came from Bella, because whenever I want to know where to go to eat, I always yell out my office, hey, Bella, where should I eat? And she'll tell me. And she's a Portland native, she just knows, and you know, millennials really get this concept, and I think that although it's meant for everyone, right, it's just curated culture. There's so much happening in the city, it's very difficult to figure out what to do, so once a month, we take all that guesswork out, and we say, this is what you should do.
I think everyone would love to know the story. As we were talking about earlier, everyone has a story. What on earth drove you toward starting a magazine?
I think I have always known that I was going to start a magazine.
Even since you were a kid?
Yes. So I was always like putting together little magazines as a kid. I would staple up a bunch of pieces of paper. I would walk around the neighborhood selling my magazines. It's kind of just one of those things that always was meant to be.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Indiana.
In Indiana. So was your magazine popular on your block?
Well, it was. I think actually people just bought it out of just being generous to a cute little child.
Right.
But what I used to do is I used to draw like images of bands, mm-hmm. like specifically the Cars. I don't know why, but I was so drawn to the Cars.
Rick Ocasek.
Yes, totally.
Adorable.
And so I would draw them, mm-hmm. and then those would be the ones that I would staple together. So it would kind of be like a tribute to the Cars magazine.
That's fantastic.
With hand drawings from like a 7-year-old.
Do you have some of those still?
God, I wish I did. No, I don't.
Maybe your parents have one.
Oh, I don't know. They weren't that precious about things at the time. Mm-hmm. But no, and then it's just kind of a natural entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So I would also, whether I was stapling together a magazine, I would also sew stuffed animals and sell those in the neighborhood. And mm-hmm. then I would have my own like yard sale every week, and I would sell whatever I didn't want in my room. It's kind of just a natural thing. They say that there's a gene for entrepreneurs. I truly believe that. And they are my favorite people on the planet, really, because they're motivated in a different kind of way.
Right.
And I think it comes from inside, and it's almost, you can't control it really. Like your brain is always going and you're always trying to think, okay, it's not even about making money. That's not what it's about. It's just about creating. I've always been naturally creative, and I think most entrepreneurs are. They're just creating businesses.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get the education necessary to really start?
I really don't
magazine?
Have it, to be honest. So what happened was I went to grad school at PSU
uh-huh.
for literature,
mm-hmm.
and I applied to be the editor of the literary review there,
mm-hmm.
and I got it. And so that was kind of my first gig, running a magazine. It wasn't really a magazine. It was like, I don't know, 24 pages of short stories. It was lovely. It was a lovely little job.
Mm-hmm.
But I was around the newspaper people all the time. And so I kind of got an idea and education on the way it worked with, advertising and that whole, the whole kind of business side of things,
mm-hmm.
In school, it was great. And then after that, I applied for a job at Multnomah Athletic Club
mm-hmm.
because they have a magazine there. It's called The Winged M.
Yes.
And that was my first real paid magazine job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was hired as an editorial assistant. And while I was there, I just became really enamored with the way that pages were laid out. And
mm-hmm.
so I had a really generous boss who was willing to say, hey, if you want to try something, try it. And so I started laying out pages. And then I just kind of learned the way a magazine was put together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned on the job because of people that were super generous and that were willing to kind of nurture my eagerness to learn.
That's been a recurring theme lately with interviews.
Yeah.
Of people who have stepped up and been generous and allowed, either been teachers,
right,
given opportunity.
Totally.
So anybody who's listening, do that.
You should reward that kind of eagerness. You
mm-hmm.
really should.
Mm-hmm.
And I would much rather have to rein someone in than kick them in the ass. You know what I mean?
Well, so, do that here.
Yeah. We have
lots of interns.
Yeah.
It's really fantastic.
Amazing interns.
Not to mention you gave me the opportunity to build a podcast, which I'd never done in my whole life.
You gave me the opportunity. So it's, I love having that kind of energy. I love having interns around here. And my staff is just tremendously creative. And if I see that someone has, an interest in doing something, I'm absolutely going to support that. It's a win for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, back to, so then I worked at the Winged M for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And then being a born entrepreneur, I just kind of knew that I wasn't going to work for people the rest of my life. It
mm-hmm.
just wasn't going to happen. So I think I was, at that point, I was like 24. So mm-hmm. I started my own business. Yeah, so I just started a graphic design business, and I would just make cold calls and get in front of people and say, hey, no, I can do this for you. I can do that publication. I can do this. And people were willing to, give me a shot. And then I met Walter and Paul.
Oh, from White Bird.
Mm.
That's right. I forgot about that connection. Totally. So talk about someone giving an opportunity.
Oh my gosh, totally. I love them. So they have me doing all their graphic design. And in the season, it must have been their second or third season, and now they're celebrating their 20th anniversary this year. Congratulations, Walter and Paul. Their Playbill publisher passed away. Lovely, you know, very respected Playbill publisher at the time. And Walter and Paul said, hey, can you do this? And I said, hey, I don't know, because I don't sell advertising. Like, I could put a publication together, but I didn't do that side of things yet. And they were like, you can do it. And so then the first year, I said, okay, I'll do it. And I just tanked. I could put the books together, but selling the advertising just really was a learning curve, right? And so then after that year, I said, okay, there's got to be a better way to do this. And I restructured the way that the advertising worked, and I built a co-oping concept where the groups that I would publish their playbills, they would all kind of put their advertising dollars into a pot so that they all got advertising in the other playbills that I created.
What a great idea.
Yeah, so it was a win-win. You know, they got their playbill. They didn't have to pay for their playbill, but they also got something else. They got advertising in other people's playbills.
Right.
And so that's the concept that was created that second year. And so then from there, I just, more and more clients just kept coming my way. And, you know, I've always, you know, being an artistic person, I love performing arts. I mean, that was just a love of mine. I wasn't, you know, I'm not a performer, and so that whole world was foreign to me. I just had an appreciation from the outside. But then I got to work with these amazing people, and I'm still in awe of people that perform like you.
And you're doing so much for performers and art organizations in the city.
Yeah.
Because as we all know, coverage of arts events and of artists in our city, there's very little coverage. And Artslandia is really taking the lead.
Well, absolutely. I feel like if these people trust me with their brand and to create these playbills for them, and honestly, playbills are important. They're the first impression that an audience member gets of an arts organization. I know that might seem like I'm overstating it, but I do believe that. I really do.
Everyone sits and reads. Where else does everyone sit down and read the same thing?
Exactly.
Nowhere.
Yeah, right there.
An arts event.
It's a sequestered audience. They're all right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love it. And so they trusted me. So the least I can do is try and come up with other ways to continually promote them. And that's where the Artslandia brand came from. It was all these groups that I worked with, me going to them and saying, how about we produce an annual magazine where everybody's schedule is in it, printed, and then we take all of your mailing lists and we mail it out to everyone. So rising tides float all boats. You know, the largest organization with the largest mailing list, you know, the small organization now benefits in, because they're getting in front of that larger group's audience. So it's a win-win. It's just like, you know, more conversation, more marketing for the groups as a whole is good for both ends of the spectrum.
Right, and someone who's going to see a theater event, then they see a visual art event, and they think, oh wow, I could go to First Thursday.
That's right.
You know, so many wonderful things to do in town. You could go to something every night.
Right, and Portland is just, I mean, it's such an interesting place on so many levels. And, you know, I think, I don't know how you feel, but we've all been, I think, grappling and hand-wringing from the last year of everything that's happened, you know, in the world and the way our city is changing so dramatically. And what does that mean, and what does that look like, and how pissed off are we about it? But I always try and center myself and say, okay, the reason I love this city is I am lucky enough to work with the people that make this city. And the creatives make this city. That's why people are here. I mean, they come for the flavor of that kind of creative energy that you really just, I don't know if it exists anywhere else in the world the way it exists here, you know, and that spirit of collaboration and generosity. And so when I'm pissed about traffic and, you know, I'm screaming at the person in front of me, I try and remember why I'm here. And it is because of these people.
You're right.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
We're so lucky. And we all need to remember that. The creatives need to remember it. You know, like it's a heavy time, unfortunately. And we need to be grateful that we're here together.
Yes. And I feel like all arts organizations that I work with are really taking to heart making a difference right now.
Oh yeah.
And there's
no question about
it.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to see organizations doing all sorts of fantastic training, equity and diversity mm-hmm. training, and really making the changes that need to happen.
Oh yeah.
And that's exciting.
No, I think it is on the top of everyone's list this year.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of community that actually does something.
Mm-hmm. So the annual's about to come out.
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
It is exciting. So we're in the throes of production right now, which is always a crazy time mm-hmm. at the Artslandia office. Also, you know, our first At the Performance comes out. Mm-hmm. And
one thing that I think craziness. Is really beautiful and unique about Artslandia, and that is, you know, you've given me full agency to reach out to artists that I meet, some people that you don't know and yeah. people in the office don't even
sure.
know. So if there's an artist out there who wants to share what they do, don't hesitate
oh
and don't
gosh.
Fear putting your stuff out to Artslandia, because they're really always looking, as you heard from Misty, you know, she's looking for artists who
absolutely.
Are doing good work and is open to sharing it.
Oh, I mean, how many people have you brought in here that I didn't even know what they were doing in the mm-hmm. community?
And well, and it's funny too, because Joe Kai, for instance,
yeah.
came in today, this
yeah.
fantastic violinist, singer who will have a podcast. And D-May Roberts introduced me to him.
Yeah.
So it's just this giant, it's like a giant party.
Yeah, you know? And I just hired him for the launch party.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Because I heard the recording when you were sitting in here.
That is great.
I love it. He's amazing.
He is amazing.
Yeah, so now we all get to listen to him on September 14th at the launch party.
September 14th happens to be my birthday.
Now the party just changed.
It just started.
It's going to be, oh my gosh.
It's going to launch. I'm going to be launched into space.
What do you usually do on your birthday?
It's always different.
Is it?
Yeah.
Keep it interesting.
Yeah, I'm keeping it interesting.
Well, what do you want to do this year?
I don't know. I guess go to the Artslandia launch
party. Well,
for
sure do that.
Gee whiz. Hear Joe Kai? What the heck? It's
well,
awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you do a really good party.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you do.
Well, it's about having a good time,
right? Well, and celebrating
yeah.
all the stuff, all the hard work.
Oh my gosh, this issue is just going to be so fabulous.
Mm.
And you speak about, you know, people trying to make a difference. I think when people read this next issue, they're going to realize that there are some incredible people in the city really trying to make a change.
Right.
For the better.
And doing great
yeah.
work.
I mean, it's humbling
well,
to know how hard people work.
Mm. And for often not a lot of money.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time to turn some things upside down in terms of who's important in our culture and how we can make this world a good place. It's a fantastic place already, not to be a downer, but just to keep opening toward generosity.
Yeah. But also I think artists should be rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
for their talents and for their hard work, because they're the hardest working people I know. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are. You're one of the hardest working people I know. It's like, I mean, the amount of work that you do in a day is just tremendous. And I think that artists need to know their worth.
Yeah, it's interesting. You, as an artist, I think we all just assume this is the level of work you have to do in order to, quote unquote, make it. But I think there are other ways that the city can support artists, and certainly funded art projects and so on are one way. And often those types of projects are visual art projects.
Why is that, you think?
I don't know, to be honest. It's interesting. I mean, we've got the Regional Arts and Culture Council.
Right.
We've got the Oregon Arts Commission who are funding
right.
artists. But again, well, when you get to the national level,
mm-hmm.
the NEA,
right.
there's so many disagreements about who people want to fund.
Right, totally.
Yeah. And then Joe and I were just talking when we were doing our podcast about that strange relationship between funders and artists.
Right.
And what that is when you're a paid, you're the help
right.
at a party or an event. You know, Kristen Chenoweth is coming to
yeah.
the opera.
Yeah.
You know, now, of course, she's a superstar.
Sure.
And I'm sure everyone will, you know, treat her with the utmost respect. She's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And by the same token, it's a working event for her. She goes, she does her job.
It's so true. I didn't even think about that.
It's a weird thing. I've done lots of events like that, as have many, many artists in town. And there's this weird hierarchy. I wonder if for people
because from
her
the outside, from the audience is in awe of the performer, mm-hmm. but the performer's there feeling like they need to impress the people that hired them.
Well, not necessarily to impress, but it's just it's a job.
It's a job,
and you gotta show up, and you know be. You gotta show up and be everything they want you to be.
Right.
And you're hired. It's like Downton Abbey, but with singers.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, totally.
It's weird, right?
It is.
Well, I mean, and you as a salesperson to some degree,
yeah.
Right? You go to various parties, you've got to meet people, and you're there to kind of shake hands physically and mentally.
Oh, yeah.
With, hey, we're on the same page, let's make business together.
Yeah. No, it's so true. Yeah, it's an interesting world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say is the people that are in this community make it easier, right?
Right, right.
Because they're so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so fun to talk to. I mean, like, over the years, the clients that we have, you know, we've been able to work with, I mean, it just, it makes it so much, I mean, they're like friends now, right?
Right.
So that's just the community and you know, this network that we've built, and they're less of a client.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing what you've achieved, and I mean, what you've done for our arts community is astounding, and I will thank you from everyone.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank them. Okay. Thank everyone.
Keep thanking.
Be grateful.